Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. I got to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Yeah. Well, it is the night before Christmas, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to get into the Word and to look at that very first Christmas Eve. But before we do there, I want to give a few shout-outs to some people. First of all, every single service is someone's first time at Next Level, and so I want to welcome our first-time guests. If you're a regular attender, would you help me welcome the first-time guests that are here today? I want to give a special shout out to those who are watching online. We wish you were here in person, but we're so thankful you're part of our online community. I also want to give a shout out to a special group of people. Our area is very heavily populated by the military, and we're so thankful for them. In fact, just last Sunday, a family came up to me, and they've been at Next Level for 3-4 years, and the military was moving them away. And it's just a reminder that when those that serve in the military come, we have them on borrowed time. And so we're very thankful. If you're here today and you are serving our country in the military, we just want to say thank you to you. Would you help me welcome and thank our military? One more final shout out. This is an incredibly busy season. As you know, it can be a very busy, and today and tonight can be very busy, and there are some people who've given up a lot of time. In order to put off a service, it takes a lot of people. And I want to give a special shout out to those who are serving, a part of our serve teams, but especially for those who work back with the kids. In order for them to do the kids, they volunteer in the back with the kids for 1 hour, and then they come to a service another hour. Also, our band and production, those that run the slides and lights and our whole band, they have to be here. They got here hours before the service started, and they're here at both services. So would you help me thank all of them for being a part of this? All right, so it is the night before for Christmas, and I don't know what your plans are. I don't know if they will involve being around family. I don't know if you're excited about that, or maybe you're a little stressed out about it. I don't know if you have all your shopping done, or like you've waited till the last minute. I don't know if you've got all your presents wrapped. I don't know what's going on in your world, but I want to ask you for just a few moments to try to soak in what's about to happen. It seems like every year Christmas comes, and if you're not careful, it just flies by, and you just move on to the next event. This week, I was trying just to soak it in. I love Christmas. I love everything about it, but I just felt like everything was just flying by me. And so I went into my living room, and I was just kind of standing there. I was the only one home, and I was just trying to take it all in. And I was watching. I was just looking at the Christmas tree and looking at all the Christmas cards that people had sent us and looking at our decorations. And I started to get a little sad because in like less than a week, it all goes back in the box, and we're going to move on to the next holiday. Now, thankfully for me, I only have to wait till the 1st of November to put all the decorations back up because I don't mess with after Thanksgiving. I do it as soon as we get to November. But for everyone else, you have to wait like over a year now before you get to celebrate and start doing all this stuff. And so I just don't want us to miss this moment. I don't want us to move on. I know some of you are thinking about what you have to do immediately after this service. You're thinking about the food that you may have to eat or the gifts or the people you're going to be around. And I want us just to take a moment to quiet our hearts, to still our minds, and to just pay attention so we don't miss this moment. In a moment, we're about to read from the Scriptures, from the Bible, and we believe that is the Holy Word of God. And I think there is no greater gift than hearing from God. What an amazing Christmas present would it be if we could hear from God tonight. So the way that we're going to do that is by reading the Scriptures. And at Next Level Church, we do something, we want to honor the Scriptures because we do believe it is the Word of God. And so the way that we do that is we stand to our feet, we read it nice and loud. So I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet and read with us our main text for today. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. And if you're a first-time guest, you need to know that we do something a little bit different. When we get to the reference, we will say Luke 2, and then there's two dots between the 2 and the 11. We just pump our fists and say dot, dot. It's a weird little thing that we do here. You don't have to do it. There is zero pressure. Just know that if you don't do it, we'll know that your heart is three sizes too small, and we'll pray for a Christmas miracle. Just kidding. Just kidding. There's no pressure to do it, but most of us will be doing the dot, dot. You're welcome to join along. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke 2, dot, dot, 11 through 12. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? And I want to invite you to take in this moment by praying a very simple prayer. The prayer is just, God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few seconds just quietly talking to God? God, that is our prayer. We desperately need to hear from you. And so we ask that you would speak to our hearts today. When you speak, we often become afraid. So God, would you give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do? Please don't let fear win today. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So have you ever thought about that very first Christmas Eve? If you grew up going to church, there's a great chance that you kind of take the first Christmas Eve for granted. It's the same characters every year. You've heard the stories. You probably grew up hearing the stories. If you grew up in church, you may have even acted out the stories. You know these real life stories. They're real. They happen to real people. But when you grow up in church, you just kind of get used to it. It just kind of seems like something that happens. But the Christmas story and that very first Christmas Eve, it happened to real people in real time. And I want you just for a second, as we read through this, to try to put yourself in their sandals. Just imagine for a second, what would it have been like on that very first Christmas Eve if this was happening to you? I want to keep that in mind as we read our text. Our text is going to come from Luke chapter 2. We're going to start with verses 4 through 7. It says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So the author of this verse, his name is Luke. He was a doctor, he was a physician, and he went around and interviewed the people that were at the very first Christmas story. He got their firsthand accounts, and he wrote it down, and I'm so thankful he did. He gives us more information about that first Christmas Eve and Christmas than anyone else. But Luke leaves out the emotion of this story. He just tells us the facts. I don't know if you're weird like me, but I like to imagine certain things. And I like to imagine what would it have been like if you actually were Mary and Joseph. Like, these are the facts that happened. There was a census. They did have to travel to their hometown. Mary was pregnant. When they get to the town, there's no room for them in the inn. She ends up giving birth to her son. They swaddle him and put him in a manger. All that stuff really happened. But if you're not careful, you'll miss that this was a very stressful time. So I like to imagine what would happen if Mary and Joseph had social media. I know they didn't, but just imagine it, if you will. If they went through these events and they could post what was going on with them in real time, I can't prove it, but it may have looked something like this. Just imagine with me that Mary would have posted on her social media account, Joseph is once again trying to explain to me why he did not get the full-size donkey. I know the mid-size is cheaper, but he could have at least paid for the cup holders. Now, Luke doesn't tell us this, but in order to get from Joseph's hometown to Bethlehem, it was a 90-mile walk. And we don't know for sure if they had a donkey or not, but that's a long way to travel. Most people think it probably took them 4 days of traveling 8 hours a day just to get their destination. So keep that in mind as you read these social media posts from Mary. Mary then may have tweeted something like, "At Joseph doesn't know what it's like to be pregnant. He keeps saying we can only use the bathroom when we stop to fill up the donkey. Hashtag annoyed." A little while later, maybe she would have posted something like this. "It's not my fault. I have to stop the donkey every 5 minutes to use the restroom. OMG, this is your fault. Hashtag God's baby." Now, just so you know, that OMG is properly used because it really is God's fault that she's pregnant. Some of you will get that later. A little while later, she could have posted something like this. "So who forgets to book a hotel during census season? This baby is about to be born in a barn." Now, her husband, Joseph, he's not as active on social media. He lets her post most things. But at this time, he's getting a little bit defensive. So I could just imagine Joseph posting something like this. "I apologize to Mary multiple times for forgetting to book a hotel. She said she is fine. I know what that really means. Hashtag how silent night began." A little while later, what we've all been waiting for, potentially Mary would have posted something like this. "Baby Jesus is here. We're exhausted, about to go to sleep, but some poor kid is saying he has a gift for Jesus." A little while later, she tells us who that kid is. She posts a picture of him, says, "The last thing a new mother needs is a drum solo. Little drummer boy said he was a poor boy too, so I didn't have the heart to tell him to stop. Hashtag worst gift ever." All right, so I can't prove that any of that would have been posted if they had social media, but I did that for a specific reason. When you start to think about that these are real people, you can just imagine that it wasn't such a silent night. It wasn't an easy journey. This was a lot of hard work, and there was a lot of drama, and nothing went the way that it was supposed to. You would think that if you were favored by God and you were birthing God's child, you would at least have a room in the hotel, but nothing seemed to go right. Now, there are a lot of other details around the Christmas story, and I don't have time to give them all, but someone from my small group asked me if I was going to write a new original rap for the Christmas service, and I told them no, but then this week I was like, I need to be able to tell the rest of the Christmas story in 1 minute, and the quickest way I could do that is in an original rap, so that's what I did. Check this out.
Harmony of harmony, your rock, drop a load on.
Yo, Christmas time, how can I explain it? I'll take you frame by frame it. The angels praising, they be singing it. But this king wasn't born in a temple. The three kings, well, it's not so simple. Followed a star, bringing gifts from far away. 3 years late, they're not there on Christmas Day. Brought gold, myrrh, and frankincense. But this is where things really get intense. Herod was in charge, and he's looking kind of sus. Wanted to kill Jesus because he was jealous. Three kings told in a dream to go another way. Herod freaked, but the wise men got away. Now the shepherds were waiting in a field nearby when the night was interrupted by an angel in the sky. The angel said, "Don't freak, you are not in danger." The shepherds ran quick to find a baby in the manger. Born in a barn because there's no room in the inn. This baby born just to wash away our sins. You down with G-O-D?
Yeah, you know me.
You down with G-O-D?
Yeah, you know me.
You down with G-O-D?
Yeah, you know me.
Who's down with G-O-D?
It's his birthday.
So there's all these events going around that very first Christmas Eve, and there's a lot of things that just didn't go as planned, including, if you keep reading the story, Herod, the guy that was in charge, he is jealous of baby Jesus, and he actually sends a group to kill all of the babies. Like, imagine if you're a parent, and you've just given birth to God's son, and now you find out there's a threat that someone wants to kill your baby. Like, nothing goes peaceful, nothing goes the way that it's planned. There is so much stress around that very first Christmas and on that Christmas Eve. But yet Luke records Mary's words that at the end of the very first Christmas Eve, this is what Mary, what happens with Mary. In Luke 2:19, the text says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." I don't know what would be said of you if you were going through that first Christmas, but I wouldn't be treasuring up anything. I would be stressed out. I might would even be frustrated with God. God, you're the one that put me in this situation. You're the one that told me to do this. I'm trying to follow you. Can I not get a break? And so often in our lives, we become frustrated when God interrupts our plans. So often in our lives, we become frustrated because God doesn't do what we want him to do. We have plans, we have ideas, we have things, and we say, "God, if you love me, you would do this." But that's not always how God works. In fact, when you follow God, what you'll find is that it's often an adventure, and it's often very different than what you could ever imagine. That first Christmas was blessed because of the baby, not because of the circumstances. If you just look at the circumstances around that first Christmas, it's horrible. It's one of the worst Christmas Eves ever. But when you look at what it meant and you look at what they celebrated, it's an amazing Christmas. But it's not because of the circumstances, it's because of the baby. Now, you may be here and you would say, "Yeah, sure, like you can kind of contextualize this, you can kind of put us in the story, but this really couldn't have been that big of a deal." And I would say, yes, it was. I would say that the reason that Mary was able to keep a positive attitude and the reason that Mary was able to ponder these things and treasure them in her heart is because she made a decision at the very beginning of this adventure to follow God's plans. When Mary, she was a teenage girl, an angel comes to her and interrupts her plans. She had plans for her life. She had ideas and dreams and things she wanted to do. And an angel interrupts her life and says, "You are going to give birth to God's son." And she says, "How can that be? I'm a virgin." And he says, "It's God's. It's a miracle." And Mary at that point doesn't complain. She doesn't say, God, what are you doing? Why are you messing up my life? That's not what I wanted to do. The text actually tells us what Mary says to God. Look at what Mary says in Luke 1, verses 46 through 48. It says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the, there's an underlined word. Would you just read that out loud? One, two, three. Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my, there's an underlined word. One, two, three.
Savior.
For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The reason that Mary wasn't thrown off and the reason that she didn't curse God or get upset with God is at the very beginning of this thing, she said, God, you are my Lord and Savior. You're not just one or the other. You are both of these things. You are my Savior who's come to save me of my sins, but you're also my Lord, worthy to follow. I like what author Bob Goff says. He said, God invites us to be a part of his plans, not approve them. When God is your Lord and Savior, he doesn't need your permission. When God is your Lord and Savior, he doesn't ask you. You get to follow him. But if you're not careful, if you're not making God your Lord and Savior, when God interrupts your life, you become upset. You become frustrated. You say, God, what are you doing? But when God is Lord and Savior, it's an honor to follow him, even if it's an inconvenience. And that first Christmas, it was a lot of inconvenience. It was a lot of things that didn't go the way that things were planned. But Mary treasures up everything because she had declared that God was her Lord and Savior. The angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, they said a very similar message. To the shepherds that were out in the field, the angels said this, Luke 2, 11 through 12, says, today in the town of David, here it is again, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the angels declared that this Jesus that is born, he's not just the Savior, he's also Savior and Lord. But what do those terms mean? We need to decide and we need to talk about what those terms actually mean. When Luke wrote this, he didn't write it in English, he wrote it in Greek. And the word that he used for Savior is the Greek word soter. And the Greek word soter means Savior, Deliverer, Preserver. For hundreds of years, people were waiting for a Savior to come. The Old Testament talked about that we are separated from God, that our sin separates us, and that we need someone to come and save us. And so they'd been talking about this for hundreds of years. In fact, there were hundreds of prophecies that predicted one day the Messiah will come. He will look like this. He will act like this. He will be born in certain places. And they prophesied all of these things. And so for hundreds of years, people were on the edge of their seat waiting for the Savior to come. But in order for him to come, he had to fulfill a whole bunch of prophecies. In order for Jesus to prove that he is the Savior, he would have had to accomplish over 300 things that were predicted about him hundreds of years before. What's amazing is that Jesus didn't just fulfill some of the prophecies, he fulfilled all of them. For a little more insight on this, check this out.
Here's a fact about Jesus Christ that may shock you. The probability of Jesus fulfilling only 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, or 1 in 100 million billion. That'd be like covering the entire state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep, marking one, dropping it from a plane, mixing them all up, and then having a person select the mark one at random the first time. That's the probability of one person fulfilling 8 of the messianic prophecies written in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled over 300.
So it's pretty cool things, but here's the deal. You might be here today and you would say, okay, how can I trust that Jesus can save me? Because if you're honest with yourself, we don't like to admit it, we don't like to talk about it, but all of us have done things that don't honor God. All of us have done things. If the world could read our minds, we'd all probably be in prison. We've all had crazy thoughts. We've all done things that fall way short of God's standards. There have been multiple times in our lives where we've literally said, God, I don't care what you say, I want to do it my way. And yet Jesus came to die for your sins and for my sins. Now, how can you trust that he could really forgive you? Because other people don't forgive so easily, right? When you hurt someone else, they hold a grudge. They hold it against you. They may even make fun of you or shame you. How can the God of the universe love us so much that he would forgive us for our sins? How can we trust that he's the Savior? Because he fulfilled over 300 prophecies. And if he can fulfill over 300 prophecies, then he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, and he does forgive us of our sins. But that first Christmas, we don't learn that Jesus is just the Savior. Mary said it, the angel said it, that he's also Lord. Well, what does Lord mean? Well, the definition of Lord means boss. We don't like that term very well. But literally, it means boss. one possessing authority and power. So if you're here today and you would say that, yes, Jesus is my Savior, and if you grew up in church, if you go to church regularly, if you would call yourself a Christian, I don't think you'd push back on Jesus being a Savior. But the thing that we've often missed at Christmas is Jesus isn't just your Savior. If he's your Savior, he's also supposed to be Lord. And way too many of us say, God, I will take your blessings and your saving. I don't want to go to hell. I'll take a ticket to heaven. But when it comes to running my own life, I'm going to still try to be Lord. I'd rather do things my way. I'd rather follow my own plans. I'd rather obey and do the things that I want to do than bow my knee to you. But Jesus is not just the Savior of the world. He is also the Lord. And if he's good enough to save you for your sins, then he's good enough for you to bow your knee and follow. The truth that Jesus is the Savior is a fact. You can find it in history. He's a historical figure. He really did exist. There is more history that proves that Jesus was a real man than almost any historical figure. He was real. He was the Savior. It is a fact. But the fact that Jesus is Lord is a choice. If you're here today and you would say, yeah, I can get on board with him being a Savior, did you know that you have a say in whether or not he's Lord of your life? You get to decide if you want to bow your knee. You get to decide if you want to give your heart to him. He did save you, whether you want to accept it or not. But the choice to follow him is yours. Jesus is not just the Savior of the world. He is also the Lord. And that means that if you follow him, you are called to die to yourself. You are called to die to your selfish desires, to doing things your way. Jesus is the king. He is the Lord. He's not a president. He's not some presidential candidate. We can't just rewrite the Constitution and say, God, there's some things that I don't like about you, so I'm going to rewrite it in my own image or my own desires. No, you're not the Lord. He is. And because he's the Lord, he is worthy of us following. What he says goes. And when Jesus is Savior of your life, it's not a burden to follow him. It's actually a joy. When Jesus is the Savior of your life, you don't mind following him. You don't say, oh, I have to go to church. Oh, I have to read the Bible. Oh, I have to honor my father or mother. Oh, I have to forgive. That's not the mindset when Jesus is Savior. When Jesus is Savior, you say, I don't have to do this. I get to do it. Because the God of the universe sent his son to die for me. And because of that, I get to live for him. So let me ask you a question. On the night before Christmas, who do you say Jesus is? Do you say that Jesus is the Savior of your life? Do you say that he has forgiven you, that he has washed your sins white as snow? If you say that he's the Savior, then would you also say that he's the Lord of your life? If he is your Savior, then he's required to also be your Lord. And when Jesus is Lord, it changes everything. This Christmas Eve, you might have a Christmas Eve like Mary and Joseph where everything goes wrong and nothing goes as planned. But when Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have hope. Because everything's not built on your plans or what you have to do. You can trust that there's a God of the universe that loves you and has a plan. So if this season hasn't been jolly, if it hasn't been merry, if it hasn't been the most wonderful time of the year, would you take your eyes off of your circumstances and put your eyes on the Savior who is also the Lord? No matter what your life has been, tomorrow is a new day. Tonight, the night before Christmas. But tomorrow, we're going to celebrate what God did so many thousand years ago. Luke 2:11 through 12 says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So may we be a people that doesn't just rush into tomorrow. May we not miss out on the moment, this moment. May we understand that thousands of years ago, God sent a Savior. And we know that he's a Savior because he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. And if he could fulfill hundreds of prophecies, he could forgive you of your sin. And if you accept that he forgives you of his sin, would you bow your knee and make him Lord of your life? Because Jesus is both Savior and Lord. So may we be a people that makes him Lord of our lives this Christmas season. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just thank you for that first gift, for that first Christmas. We thank you that you sent your son, not just to be born, but you sent your son to die. God, that is the best gift we could ever receive. And we ask right now that you would help us to really receive it, to really take it in and to really believe it. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we're going through, would you help us to claim and understand that you are the Savior of the world and you are the Lord and you have a plan and that plan includes us. And we ask, God, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would wash us white as snow. But God, give us the strength to live for you, to make you Lord, to choose you every single day. Jesus, you died for us, so help us to live for you. We thank you for that first Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.